We have on the line Declan Green, who has adapted Kenneth Cook's 1961 novel Waking Fright into a play. And of course, Declan has a lot of plays under his belt: Moth, Pompeii, LA, 8 Gigabytes of Hardcore Pornography, I'm a Miracle, Blackie Blackie Brown, and the list just goes on and on and on. Declan Green, welcome to Stages.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Gosh, Declan, how old are you? Done all this stuff.
That's a very intrusive question
yeah,
to begin
I'm sure
with.
It is.
I refuse to answer it. No, I'm 34.
Well, how could you have done all that stuff and only be 34? Anyway, sorry. Over to you, Trish. You're going to ask something.
Well, Declan, I did want to ask you, of course, a burning question about this production, which I think has run before in Melbourne but not here in Sydney. Zara Newman, who is just a fabulous actress, one of my favourite actresses, is playing this as a one-woman show. And, of course, this is taken from the Kenneth Cook novel Wake and Fright, but the 1971 movie Wake and Fright, directed by Ted Kotcheff, is of course something that affected all of us and we all remember. So I just wanted to ask you first up, how is it different from the movie, which was very masculine and had an all-male cast, in that it is a one-woman show?
Well, I think that coming into the project early on, I knew that a lot of the questions, sort of social questions that the original novel Wake and Fright asks are about a particular kind of strain of Australian masculinity. And I thought early on that it would be really interesting to, I guess, draw that to the fore by finding a female performer to collaborate on the work. And as you say, I think Zara is one of the most remarkable performers in this country, and when I approached her, I was really, really excited to see how she would tackle this material and how she would take on the challenge of invoking the entire world of Bundy Yabba and every single character in Wake and Fright, and manage the switches between them. But of course, because she's such a dexterous performer, it's quite an incredible Olympian thing to see live. And I guess that was kind of what helped crack open the novel when we started figuring how to adapt it, just taking on that form.
And Declan, are we going to be still a bit scared of going out to the countryside now, us city people?
Well, I mean, I think one of the things that that a lot of people often get mistaken about Wake and Fright is that it's a novel about, you know, the countryside or the heart of Australia, where I actually reckon that. And I think one of the things that Zara and I have kind of talked about a lot in terms of this adaptation is going, like, I actually think that Bundy Yabba itself is a microcosm of all of Australia, not just small town Australia.
Yeah.
Because I think that, you know, a lot of the questions that Kenneth Cook asks in it about hospitality and the type of, you know, how Australia as a country treats outsiders and people who are seeking sanctuary in it, I think these are very relevant political questions now, and I don't think they necessarily have to fall into a dialectic between city and country. I think they can actually fall into a dialectic between, I guess, mainstream Australia and categories of outsider, and the way that Australia demands people change their behaviour, or the way, I guess, certain types of mainstream Australia demands people change their behaviour or change their identity in order to be accepted or to find safety here.
I guess in, you know, Ted Kotcheff, who directed the 1971 film, he was a Canadian, and he really related to the book and making the film here because he felt that masculinity he'd experienced in, you know, in his work in Canada, I think, you know, going out chopping down trees or something, out, you know, labouring out there. But I guess what he really saw in the book was toxic masculinity, where actually men had suppressed their feelings so much with alcohol and violence that they couldn't express it. And especially if there was any, you know, suggestion of homosexuality, that just turned to violence as well, or rape. So I'm just wondering how are those themes in this, because the outsider that you're talking about, that just makes so much sense to me in how you're approaching the book and the one-woman show play.
Well, yeah, I think that's something that the entire creative team on this play, like myself, Zara, Friendships, who's Nick Brown, who did the sound design, we're all people who kind of grew up in Australia in various ways feeling like we were outsiders. Mm. Me, it was because I'm queer. Zara came to Australia at the age of 13 from Jamaica. Nick from Friendships actually went on roo shoots when he was a teenager in rural South Australia and was kind of like, you know, a weird queer goth kid. So we've all kind of felt those kind of rites of Australian masculine initiation and felt the kind of danger that comes from not fitting in Australia into that kind of very specific kind of masculinist, you know, kind of like very protective, very nationalist kind of Australian identity, because it does come with danger in this country. And I think in a lot of countries, probably like you were saying, like be it Canada, be it wherever else, not fitting into the centre does come with danger. And in Australia, I think it's fascinating that like Australian hospitality is held as being something that's, or you know, we think of ourselves as a welcoming country, but it's kind of, I think the kind of contradictions at the core of Australian identity are really interesting in the sense that we managed to hold in balance somehow this notion of ourselves as a hospitable, welcoming place, but also
we're very hospitable, Declan. We put people on these lovely tropical islands off the coast.
That's what I mean. It's incredible that we hold those two things in like...
They can enjoy this new environment before they actually come here, and it's a sort of a slow, you know, acclimatization process,
yeah.
I think.
it's incredible to think of that we actually do manage to hold those things in balance in our Australian identity, that these are two things which are deeply contradictory. So many people in this country actually go, oh, yeah, those things make sense.
Yes. Well, look, I just wondering too, with the seed of the idea that got you into this, was it from, did you read the book or see the movie? How did it come to you that I could make this into something that's it takes it into a different realm?
I think I read the book first and then I saw the movie and I immediately had this kind of attraction to it going like, I just think this is an amazing horror story. I love horror. And I knew that I'd love to tackle it in theatre in some way, but it probably took me a good like 5 years or something to figure out the form because I was always like, the thing about Australia, about Wake and Fright, is it's so about the landscape and this intense sense of isolation and claustrophobia and going like, actually, how do you evoke that in a theatre? Like that sense of vastness and something that's way all-encompassing and being kind of crushed by the distance of all of this lack of proximity to civilization. So, like, yeah, I couldn't figure it out. And then something kind of cracked open for me when I was like, actually, you just do it through language. Like, you don't actually try and do a set or anything like that that evokes the place at all. You actually build it all in the minds of the audience. And that's effectively what Zara and myself and Friendships have done. It is a one-person show, which means that language and the conjuring of this place in the audience's imagination happens just through an actor, but then also we have this really immersive sound design that I think gives a sense of the kind of majesty and hugeness of the landscape as well. But yes, it's effectively an act of imagination and conjuring.
Yeah, because you've got, of course, you've got James Paul working on the sound design and Verity Hampson working on the projection and design. So I guess you do have a bit of a multimedia approach to it as well then?
Yeah, it's a very simple approach to the show. It's literally a ring of lights on stage, on the ground, that Verity here has designed and programmed that can do some pretty showy kind of stuff. And then we have this, Friendships along with James Paul have programmed this very kind of vast and encompassing sound design. But it's all kind of there to really support this virtuoso performer, like this kind of one, like it's really kind of an act of language, voice and sound, and that's what everything's kind of really built around and designed to support. So it's kind of very simple, but then it also becomes very kind of spectacular and huge.
You know,
as well.
I was just looking up Wake and Fright on Rotten Tomatoes, and it's 100%. There's very few 100% films. I know that you're not the film, but and what you were saying before, I think about people relating to it. I think that even though it is a story about the outsider, the young sort of cultured school teacher getting lost in the town and everything, I think it's something that we all relate to. It's funny, isn't it, that so many people loved the book and the film and related to it so much. Even, I mean, we can't all be outsiders in Australia, but I know, I think we do have experiences where we go to the outback or maybe work on boats or do something, you know, we all do experience it.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's also interesting that like it is such a beloved Australian text. Like it's you know, it's one of those really kind of unquestioningly kind of canonical Australian films. But It's so funny that when it first like premiered in Australia, there's that great mythical story of somebody in the audience standing up and yelling out, "That's not us" at the screen. Yeah. And then Jack Thompson going, "Sit down, it is us." Like, I love that. I love that it actually really, it did, when it was first released, have the capacity to get under people's skins and make them actually feel uncomfortable in their identity as an Australian.
Well, Declan, I'm starting to get that feeling under my skin right now, and I think I'll have to get out and buy a ticket. It's on February the 11th to the 15th.
That's right. Yeah, just four performances.
At the lovely Playhouse at the Opera House there. So get out there and see that. And thank you, Declan Green, for being with us here at Stages at 2SER.
Thanks for having me.